Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious and loving Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are here. And knowing, Father, that as the world is truly falling apart, as your prophet spoke, yet we see, Father, that your elect are coming together in a closer measure, a closer image, Lord, to the Son of God. For we know that the whole world is groaning and travailing until the sons of God shall come into the manifestation of the revelation. And we know, Father, that that manifestation of the sons of God is to be the same manifestation as in the Son of God. We are to have no doctrine but the doctrine which you gave us, the doctrine of Christ. We are to not do anything but what the Father shows us first. To say only what you've taught us to say, Father, and to let go of our own will, to receive your will. I know, Father, it's a very much of a struggle for us in the flesh. Sometimes, Lord, we seem to have more victory than others. And sometimes, Father, we the image is implanted upon our heart, upon our soul. But sometimes we just can't get the body, soul, and spirit to come together in a unity around that image. But we know, Father, that it was ordained for us, and thus it shall be. And all things work together for the good of those that love you and are thee called according to your purpose. So, Father, we rest in these words. And we ask, Father, that you would help us, Lord, as we study the message which Brother Branham brought to us. The spoken word is the original seed. We ask that you would give us a peace, Father, and a rest to know that we're here, Father, because you've ordained us to be here. We're growing, Father, because you've ordained us to see, to hear, to understand. And so, Lord, we just commit all of these things in the lovely name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Now, tonight I'd like to pick up at, in the spoken word is the original seed, at paragraph 78. And this will be number 100 in our series. And in 78, Brother Branham said, you can't be a seed and disagree with the word because the word is the seed. And if you are the word, how can you disagree with it? You'd be disagreeing with yourself. You'd be defeating your own purpose. Like somebody said, why do you ever go out with them people like that? Well, if I didn't do it, I'd be defeating the very purpose that I was sent here for. There's got to be a light. Now, as we go on down, we're going to bring them things in and show you just how they set themselves in order, just exactly perfectly with the word. Now, tonight I'd like to focus our thoughts on what he said in this first paragraph. In fact, the very first sentence of this paragraph, he said, you can't be a seed and disagree with the word because the word is the seed. Now, we've been looking at two spirits that were prophesied by Jesus Christ that were to be so close that he said they would resemble each other, but only the elect would not be deceived. For Matthew 24:24, Jesus said, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elected. Behold, I've told you before. Now, Brother Branham has identified for us just exactly what those two spirits were, or are. From his sermon, Seed Shall Not Be Heir with a Shock, he said, notice, see how close it looks. St. Matthew 24:24 said that the two spirits in the last days, the church spirit of the church people and the bride spirit of the bride people, would be so close together till it would deceive the very elected, even if it was possible. That's how close. Look how it's come up through the stalk. I want you to think about that. The two spirits would be so close. You know, we used to always think, well, that's got to be Pentecost. You know, Pentecost is so close like the genuine. But Brother Brown said, this is a million miles beyond Pentecost. He said the two spirits are the church spirit on the church people, and the bride spirit, or the Holy Spirit, in the bride, in the elect. From God identifying himself, he said the Spirit of God can be identified by his characteristics. See, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the church. There's a church spirit and the Spirit of God that's absolutely not like the church spirit at all. There's a denominational spirit. There's a national spirit. There's a spirit of the nation. Every nation, you walk in there, you find a different spirit. I went into Finland, find people, but there was a Finnish spirit. I go into Germany, there's a German spirit. So the question we gave you on Sunday was, what spirit is motivating us? What image are we being conformed to? The image of Christ or the image of the church? And from Mark of the Beast, Brother Bram even gets a little bit more definitive. And he says, now you see what the mark of the beast is? It's the mark of apostasy. It's a person who just thinks that, well, I belong to church and I'm just as good as the next fella. Am I not belonging to this church? And Brother Bram said, that's the mark of the beast. Right in the message, right in the message. Right in the pew, right in the pew. People with a church spirit, not the Holy Spirit. And yet so close that it would deceive the very elect. Why? Because they're sitting with the elect in the same pews, talking the same word. Oh yeah. Using the same quotes, feasting at the same table. So we see that the spirit that is so close to the spirit in the bride, which is the Holy Spirit, is the spirit of the church. That is the spirit he has identified as the mark of the beast, and it is so close that it's a very deceptive spirit. And what makes it so deceptive, as we pointed out Sunday, is because it says the same things that the elect says. It does the same things that the elect does. It copies and acts like, it talks like, and holds to the same doctrine and everything, right down to almost perfect impersonation of the real genuine. Except without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Without the literal God life that comes through the birth by God's word, as we find in 1 Peter 1 and verse 23. And as it says right here in the same message, it feasts at the same table that you are, eating the same spiritual food in due season that you're eating. In James chapter 1, verse 12, we read, these are spots in your feasts of charity, your love feasts. When they feast with you, what do you do when you're feasting? You're eating. What are they doing when they're feasting? They're eating. You see? When the water fell upon the wheat, it lifted up its hands and said, thank you, God. When the same water, the same doctrine, when it fell upon the tares lifted up their hands and they said, thank you, God. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. I think that's what sets us apart. Is the fear of the Lord is a beginning of wisdom. A reverential fear. A holy fear. He says, clouds, they are without water. What is a cloud? Well, we know the Apostle Paul told us that clouds are witnesses. He said, we have many clouds of witnesses. So Paul said clouds are witnesses, and without water would mean that there's no doctrine. Clouds without doctrine, clouds without rain. You see? Because Deuteronomy 32 and verse 2 says, God says, my doctrine shall drop as the rain. God identifies the rain as with his doctrine, or his doctrine with the rain. And you notice it takes the rain to cause the crop to come into full maturity, full harvest. And therefore these are clouds or witnesses with no doctrine. And so they are carried about of winds. And they are trees whose fruit withereth. And we know that fruit is a teaching for the season, which is doctrine. So these are without fruit, without doctrine, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their shame, wandering stars, always wondering about this and wondering about that. No stability in the word of God. To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever? So we're looking at two spirits that are so close, yet one has God life because it is a seed from God. But the other has a life, but not God life. So what life do they have? And as Peter taught us in 1 Peter 1 and 23, that there are two seeds. One that is born again by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. It's incorruptible. It's an incorruptible seed. And the other is a corruptible seed. The other is born of a corruptible seed or seed life. And if it is a corruptible, then it is not the word of God, but the word of another. Now, we could go into the parables to show you the two seeds and how each came forth after that they had been sown. In the Gospel of Mark, the seed that the Son of Man sowed is called the word of God, and the other man sowing the seed is called the devil. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, and reading from verse 24, another parable he put forth unto them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and the fruit brought forth, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came, and he said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath the tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? He said, Nay, but lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." Now notice Jesus points out the fact that there's very two different types of life in those seeds that were planted alongside each other in the same field. The field represents the world. The sowing is done first by the owner of the field, and then his enemy comes into the field and imitates his sowing, but with a different life. In fact, we might refer to actually the two field or the same field as being the same message. All right, or same group of people. And you have the seed sown by the Son of Man, and then you have the seed sown by someone else. Now the facts of this parable are this. Number one, there is one field that the seed is placed in, i.e. a woman or church. Number two, there are two sowers or sources of seed, the owner of the field and his enemy. Number three, there are two seeds that are sown, identifying two different life forms, natures. You have the wheat and tares. Number four, the tare seed is an intrusion, but it was allowed to grow up alongside the wheat until the harvest. I say an intrusion because it was God's field, God's planting, you see. But it was allowed to grow up until the harvest for the sake of the wheat, until the wheat is mature enough to withstand a separation. Number five, separation always brings on warfare, always does. Number six, there is a binding and a bundling of these tares. Number seven, the tares are destined for burning. But number eight, the wheat is to be gathered, not bundled, not bound, but they are to be gathered into a place or the storehouse of the owner. Now notice the two seeds are allowed to grow up side by side until the time of the harvest. Then a separation is to take place. First, there'll be a gathering together of the seed which the enemy sowed. The tares will begin to be gathered first. And Jesus uses the word deo in describing the binding process or the binding together. Now, the word actually means bind by placing under obligation. So when Jesus said that they shall be bound into bundles, it's not the same word. You know, we think in the English language binding and bundling is the same thing. It's not. Jesus is saying that you need to bind them into bundles. You see, binding is the process by which you bring them together. Bundling is the unit in which they are. Okay? But the word deo that he described in binding process, he said, the word actually means bind by placing under obligation. Now, this binding is needed in order to control the assembly of tares. And by placing the people under obligation, which takes them from the word, we see that organization has bound the people, keeping them from searching further for more light than what is available in their church. This is done through programs. Look at these very big churches, or every big church that you see. You see the people are not content to come and hear the minister preach, but you find many programs going on in those churches. The larger the congregation, the more programs to keep the people content. You go into one of the big churches, the very first thing they ask you is, can you teach Sunday school? Can you play an instrument? Can you sing in our choir? Can you do something for us? You see? What they're doing is they're trying to obligate the people to that church. Make them feel important. Make them feel like they've got a position, like they're really somebody, you know, by coming there. And we're going to pull from you the gifts that you've got. You see? And they're binding them. They're bringing them under obligation to an organization. All right? As I said, it's done through programs. After the tares then are bound, Jesus tells us that they're then placed into bundles. Now, in using the word bundle, Jesus is telling us that there's a certain characteristic concerning the binding together. Although the word for bundle is a word which can mean binding, it can mean that, Jesus used two different words in describing the process which is taking place. He said the reapers will bind them into bundles. He never said into one bundle, but into bundles. Thus we see the word bundles further defines the process that these tares must go through before they're ready for the burning. They are bound first and then bundled. The use of the plural tells us that there will be many different bundles, just as we see there are many different denominations. They are gathered first. This gathering could suggest a very loose coming together. But by adding the word bundle to further define the binding process, Jesus shows us form and symmetry and purpose. These will be involved in how that they will be presented for the burning. A bundle is not just a ragtag collection of sticks thrown together in any direction, but a bundle suggests to us that all the tares in each bundle will be lined up together, all going in the same direction. Their union into a bundle or assembly will make them a more efficient means by which to burn them all. Now, let me just explain how you would do that. If I were to go out and gather sticks and say, okay, we want to gather sticks, we want to bind them for bundling. And let's say we had some of the little children back there and they got these little itsy-bitsy sticks and they wouldn't pick them up. And some of the bigger guys in here, they might have gotten, you know, big, heavy ones like this, maybe logs like this. They bring them in. Then maybe somebody, Brother Gregory or somebody came in and they had some real long ones. Well, you can't bind all those kind together. They won't hold in a bundle. So what do? You put the little itsy-bitsy sticks, you put them all together, you bind them up. You put the big fat ones into a container, you bind them up. You put the real long ones together, you bind them up, you see. And so you got different denomination or different values going in the different bundles. All right? But notice they're all lined up. They're all going, they're all headed the same direction. They all look alike. They're all pretty much, you know, symmetrical. They all have the same purpose. And so we see how organization is the means by which the tares are gathered and assembled together. And you see, it's easier, if I want to burn, to be able to just go and grab a bundle and take the whole thing instead of have to just be, you know, picking stick and try to get your fire started. I just grab a bundle. So it makes the burning process much, much quicker. That's why God has allowed them to have their denominations, you see, for the burning. Now, so we see that organization is the means by which the tares are gathered and assembled together. The church is bound first by a false word, and then by organizing around that false word, they assemble the people into a more efficient and profitable means by which the whole group can be readied for the burning. Thus, we should see clearly that the false vine is the organized church. For organization is what binds them together. Then, if this be so, one of the main attributes of the false vine will be its ability to organize in numbers and thus utilize the efficiencies to preach their false gospel. Now, a bundle does not represent a loose-knit organization, but one which has structure, symmetry. Every stick is heading in the same direction, and they are there for the same purpose, and they must conform to some standard in order to fit within the bundle. Now, let's see if that's not exactly the picture that Jesus himself is speaking concerning these two seeds. If we go to Matthew 13, verse 36, he said, "Then Jesus sent the multitude away, and he went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man." Jesus is called by this title, the Son of Man, 84 times, which is more than any other title used of him in the Scripture. This title, Son of Man, signifies a prophet. Therefore, we see that a prophet will come forth sowing seed. Now, verse 38, "The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels or messengers. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire by messengers to the tares, so shall it be at the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, those who would stumble others, and them which do iniquity, those who know to do right, and they won't do it, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." This is the tribulation period. "Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear." So notice then the righteous will actually have a relationship with God, knowing that he's their Father, coming into the image of the firstborn son in a vast family of brothers. Now, in the Epistle of Paul, we're told of two types of children, obedient children and children of disobedience. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 14, he says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lusts in your ignorance. In Ephesians 2 and 1, Paul says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, and wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. In Ephesians 5 and 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. In Colossians 3 and 6, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. So we have disobedient children, which was Adam, and we have children of disobedience, which are those of the wicked one. Now, we must understand what Paul is telling us here when he spoke of the children of disobedience, because notice, these are children of disobedience, and what are the other children going to be? They're going to be obedient children. You see, people write to me all the time from all over the place, and one of the questions I get is, how will we know, what manifestation will we have when the Scripture says that the sons, you know, when it speaks of the manifestation of the sons of God? And my answer to them is, look, do you think that the manifestation of the sons of God will be doing miracles? Do you think that the manifestation of the sons of God will be that you will be so perfectly, sinless in your nature? How do we know what the manifestation of the sons of God is? And then I say, now look, the only way we can know what the manifestation of the sons of God is to see the Son of God. What manifested Jesus as the Son of God? And that's what we're going to know is going to manifest the sons of God. It wasn't miracles, because Jannes and Jambres did miracles. It wasn't how holy they could be, because, like Brother Branham said, you couldn't put a finger against those Pharisees. Whited sepulchres. Inside wasn't so good, but they were whited on the outside. You see? But their lives were impeccable. They didn't even pick up a stick on the Sabbath. But what manifested Jesus as the Son of God? The Bible says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. What made him a son, a real son, was his obedience to the Father. And God himself said, I would rather obedience than sacrifice. That's what any proud father would be, to have his sons and his daughters to be obedient. God wants us to have his mind, his doxa, his glory, his values, his opinions, his judgment. That's what any father wants to instill in their children. So as Paul said, he was telling us when he spoke of the children of disobedience, he did not say disobedient children, but he called them children of disobedience. In other words, these are children who were brought into this world through a disobedient act. Thus, who were the product of disobedience. And if the product of disobedience, then they are the seed of disobedience. We now know that the seed life pictured here in this parable speaks of real children, real people, the children of God and the children of the wicked one sown by the devil. These are serpent seed, as John tells us in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. He says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Now, if Cain were the son of Adam, then John would have never spoken such harsh, critical words against him, because Jesus said that, or because Adam was the Son of God. But we know that Cain was conceived by the disobedient will of Eve with the serpent. Now, getting back to our text for tonight, Brother Brown said, you can't be seed and disagree with the word, because the word seed, the word is the seed. And if you are the word, how can you disagree with it? You'd be disagreeing with yourself, you'd be defeating your own purpose. A couple weeks ago, when we took the paragraph right before this, where Brother Branham said, he said, when God manifests his word to a generation, when God has a word for that generation, and God manifests that word for that generation, he says, then you're seeing God. So when God sends a prophet on the scene, and that prophet acts out exactly what God ordained for him to act out, then you're seeing God. Now let me take it one step further. When that prophet goes off the scene, and we have a word that says all that were all that he knew before the foundations of the world, he justified. All that he justified, he has, past tense, glorified, that we might be conformed to the image of the firstborn son in a vast family of brethren. That's why a few verses before that, it says that the whole world groans and travails for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, contrary to those who believe that the fullness of the Godhead is in the bride, I don't believe that at all. But I do believe that we have seed life, God life in us. And let me just say this, that if we could just get ourselves out of the way, because Brother Branham said the greatest gift is to get yourself out of the way. If we could just get ourselves, if Brian Kosora could get himself out of the way and let God work through him, you would see God manifested in flesh. If you can get yourself out of the way and let the attributes, let the characteristics, let, as Paul says about this body, he said, let this body be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. If you could just let God have your body, loan it to him, give it to him, whatever you could do, like Brother Branham said, he wants to borrow my body, I'll give it to him. Whatever he wants with it. And when you can do that, then you're being conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Then the world, when they see you, they are seeing God, or the image of God. Because Jesus Christ, the firstborn son, if we come into his image, remember, he was the expressed image of the Father. And the world will see God manifested in flesh once again. That is my promise. I mean, that's my hope. That's his promise. That's my hope of his promise. Is that this, I can just die to Brian and let God use the body. That you can die to self and God will use your body to manifest his glory to a dying generation. Now we have quite a few scriptures. I won't go into them, but I'll just read you what they are. In looking at the attributes of God's seed versus the attributes of serpent's seed, the attributes of God's seed are all who are ordained to life believe God's word. Whereas the serpent's seed, they have no place for the word. We have Acts 13:48, 1 John 2 and 20, John 3, 15, John 8, 37, 1 John 4, verses 5 to 6, and 1 John 2, verse 19. Again, the attributes of God's seed are they love the true word of God, the revealed and vindicated word for their day. Ephesians 4, 15 and 1 Peter 1, 22. However, the serpent seed, these do not love the word, the true word, but hold to the word for another age. 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 to 12. Attributes of God's seed, these come to the light, the revealed word, they don't walk in darkness. Isaiah 60, verse 3, Psalm 56, verse 13, 89, verse 15, John 3, 21, 12, 46, and 1 John 1 and 17. In the serpent seed, these do not come to the light, and they try to keep others from coming to the light. Matthew 23, 13, Romans 1, 18, John 3, 19 to 20, John 12, 35, 48, Isaiah 50, verse 11, 1 John 1, 5 to 6. Only God's sons can understand the word. John 8, 31, 42 and 47. Isaiah 50, 4 to 10. Matthew 13, 11, 16. Mark 4, 11. Luke 8, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 2 and 12. These cannot understand the word of God. The attributes of serpent seed cannot understand the word of God. John 8, 38 to 39. 43 to 45. Matthew 13, 11 to 15. Mark 4, 11. And 12, Luke 8, 10, and 1 Corinthians 2 and 14. God's sons are gathered by the revealed word of God. And versus the attributes of serpent seed, these sons are gathered by organization and false word by false shepherd. I'll just read you what they are. And if you'd like it, I can print off a copy of all the scriptures that go with these. The God seed received the mark of God, the seal of God on their forehead, in their hand, in their actions, in their mind. Serpent seed received the mark of the beast, the mark of Cain, in their mind, in their actions. God seed have eternal life, whereas the only life that serpent seed have is temporary, earthly, sensual. God's seed do nothing but what the Father shows them first. Serpent seed have zeal, but without knowledge. God's seed are born of incorruptible seed by the revealed and vindicated word of God, whereas serpent seed are born of corruptible seed, the word for another age. God's seed hold on to a vindicated word, whereas serpent seed hold on to their own word. God's seed are obedient to the word and to God, their Father. Serpent seed are children of disobedience, and they disobey the word of God. God's seed love God because they love God's word, and he is the word. Serpent seed hate God because they hate the word, and God is the word. God's seed understand Godhood of God, the relationship of the Father and his Son, whereas the serpent seed will never understand the Godhood of God because they wish to be equal with God. God's seed will know the two spirits and will not be deceived. Serpent seed will never be able to discern the two spirits. Therefore, they are always deceived, and they persecute the true seed. God's seed will understand the Alpha becoming Omega because it'll be a reality to them. They'll see it. Non-God seed will look forward or they'll look backward, but they fail to see the word that's happening right now. It's like I try to tell the church here, I said, don't be focusing on what happened 45, 50 years ago. Be focusing on what God is doing to you right now. That's the word for this season, is what God is doing to you. Not what he did 40 or 50, that's a whole generation away, ago. Not what God did in a past generation, but what is that word that came doing in you today? And finally, God only the seed of God only recognizes, God only recognizes his seed, whereas God will never recognize seed that is not his seed. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We know, Father, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You do not change. We change, Father, and mostly not for the better. But, Father, my desire and my prayer is that we know there's a coming rapture. And we know that to be there, we'll have to have a change of the body first. And to get that glorified body, we have to be adopted, because Paul called the change of the body the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. And in order to make adoption, we have to have the mind of our Father and be always about our Father's business. So, Lord, we know that even though we're a son, as Brother Rand said, that's where Pentecost fell short. They thought, well, just being born again, that's it. Glory to God, we've got it, we've made it. And Brother Brown said, no, that's just being born in the family. But we've got to be the right kind of son in order to make the adoption, because in order to get the body change. And so, Father, we ask you to help us to get ourselves out of the way. Help us to die daily, that the inner man might be renewed in the spirit by thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's just sing that song, "The Lord Bless Thee and Keep Thee. The Lord Make His Face Shine Upon Thee."
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. Shine toward you and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give